This is RSBNB Update, episode 453, recorded Saturday, February 22nd, 2014. The Good Grace of Gamers. Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us for this week's episode of RSBNB Update. This week's show is being recorded live in our Mumble server, so if you are listening to us live, and welcome to you, and hopefully you'll hear something that you normally don't hear. All right, so joining us this week is Tannis, fully known as Tannis Half-Elf from RSBNB Informer.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome. First time you've been on the show. I'd like to extend a big welcome to you, and maybe we'll see more of this in the future.
Thank you. Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Or first-time guest in this case.
Right.
But yeah, you joined Informer back in January. You sent us an application in December, and we liked what we saw, so we brought you on board. And your second article is going to come out next week. So we'll make sure to tell everyone to look for that.
Cool.
So the heist minigame is this week's headlining update. I'm going to basically query the two of you on this because I wasn't actually able to test this out due to the way the thing works. So let's begin. Heist is basically RuneScape's version of Cops and Robbers. So there's this little thing you climb up that's north of Falador. And then once you're in there, you either join the guards or the robber side. And then I'm going to ask you guys what happens next. So, Trekkie, what happens once one of these games starts?
Well, when game starts, you either become a robber, in which case you're supposed to try and rob the bank and bring home the loot. If you are the guard, you're supposed to try and catch the robber and put him in chains.
So that's really all there is to it.
Yeah. Pretty much. It's player versus player, so I think the max is 3 versus 3 or 4 versus 4. Robbers have the ability to mimic any NPC that's in the area. So from what I was trying, I didn't get too much into it because I didn't have a lot of time. But basically, there's basically Birthrop's bank, and it's your job to try and steal the loot and get out without them knowing that you are indeed a robber. And the guard's job to try and figure out who is a robber and who is not.
All right, that makes sense.
And if you get caught twice, I think you're turned into a guard. So as the game goes on, there will be more guards and less robbers.
So once the game ends, I assume it would end when everybody is converted to a guard.
Or the robbers have brought back all the... I think it's like 6 pieces of loot. It depends on the size of the party. But if you bring back a certain amount of loot, then that side would win.
That makes sense. This reminds me of, you know, kind of a playground game that people would play where you get tagged and then you become one of the taggers. Later that was... redescribed to be a playground version of the zombie game. So that's what this kind of reminded me of, except in the same sort of guards and robbers sense. So how long did it take both of you guys to find a world in order to give this a try?
Tannis, where do you go first?
It didn't take a real long time. I didn't... short time this week too, so I didn't really get in there until Thursday night. Yeah, it didn't take too long.
All right.
World two.
I can't remember where I was. I don't think I was in two.
Okay. How about you, Trekkie?
I actually went with my clan because some people wanted to try it out, so I decided to jump on board. Using voice out is actually can make it a lot more fun because you can try and be a total jerk to the other team, giving false information. be a counter spy.
See, this is the thing that kind of stands out for me with Heist. It appears to be a game that's focused on a small group, like you said, like your own party group, which is good. RuneScape definitely needs more of that. But one big problem that I ran into and didn't really like is that if you don't have a group to begin with, there's no way to set up a queue of everybody who just wants to go in on their own through all the worlds and go into an instanced world together. There's no way to do that. And I had to spend a good amount of time searching through the top populated worlds trying to find an instance, and I wasn't able to find one. So I just gave up after about five world hops.
Hmm.
So that...
you say that
I think
lot,
that's one thing that
stuff.
Could greatly help this.
Could help a lot of minigames that actually did it, but I'm pretty sure it'll be a royal pain in the butt.
Yeah, and I mean... Mm-hmm. It's a natural evolution of what's going to happen with minigames. One of the things in the FAQ that was said is, with Heist coming out, does this mean you're not working on other minigames? And they said, no, this is just a new type of minigame we wanted to do. And when it comes down to it, there are things we want to do with other games as well. So that's good that they're still going to focus on those. Another thing in the FAQ pertain to what I said about the worlds, and there is going to be a heist world, and I think that's a necessity at this point, because if not, people are going to either have to find their own group or spend time searching for a world, which is not fun. What would you guys have to say about the gameplay? Is it polished? Is it up to the gold standard of Jagex development, or is kind of half-baked like that one quest was?
I don't think it's half-baked. I think it's interesting. You get points for catching robbers or stealing loot. So, you know, best thing to do, really, that thing, when I was a robber, I actually stopped running, because obviously if you're running across the map, pretty sure you're good chance of you being the robber. I actually ended up having a disciplinary action as a guard, because I clicked on three NPCs thinking they were them, but they weren't, and I got sent to jail myself.
How about you, Tannis? What did you think of the overall fit and finish of the game?
Well, it was, it looks pretty good. But like Trekkie said, one of the kind of odd things about it is, you know, how do you look like an NPC? So, you know, if you run at all, if you make a sudden movement, or you kind of zig instead of zag, it's pretty obvious if you're a robber. I think the other thing for me was the size is okay, but I would have liked to have seen the ability to be like 10 on 10, so that you could have more of your clan members come and play at the same time.
Also, I think in the future they should add some other maps too. It's only Birthrup and Stay at Night. I think if they made some other ones just for have some fun, it'll be good.
Isn't there Knifis as well? The player voted one?
Was there Knifis?
Yes, there is. I had watched, I forget which mod it is, but they had a whole hour of Heist on the live stream.
Yeah, I saw that last night.
Yeah, and that was cool to see, like, how they were doing it and how awful I was doing it. So I learned something from it.
Yeah. So what'd you learn?
You know, my story...
Learn not to run around.
Yeah, you don't run around.
And you have to, like, use... when you take the, you know, shape of something else, you gotta make sure you're taking the right one. You're not in, like, the wrong area and you're, you know... It's pretty obvious when a camel goes moseying into a bank.
Yeah, and I mean...
Probably a robber.
I hope I'd be good at that, because I've watched lots of Star Trek Deep Space Nine episodes that deal with changelings.
You're
so,
not a changeling.
Yeah, well, you can change into NPCs. That's close enough to being a changeling, okay?
All you do is put on a wig and a dress and some powder, some white powder on your face.
But you said you can become a camel.
Yeah, but you didn't get that reference at all, did you?
No, I did not, apparently.
Oh, you haven't rescued the prince in a while now, have you?
What quest was that?
Alcahard, way back when.
Oh, right. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I always thought it would be fun to kind of be that sort of thing where you can be a camel or I don't know. What are some other NPCs you can be?
If you're in Canif, you can be a zombie. Remember that one? I mean, pretty much anything on the map, anything that's moving, you can be.
What was funny for me when I was doing a heist, I knew there was a guard standing at the bank, so I was walking in and out, pretending I'm just a stupid NPC. Then my teammate, who has no idea what he's doing, runs and steals the loot and tries to run away, and everybody starts chasing him. I went up, grabbed it, and scored. All the guards were chasing my teammate, and I just stayed there until it was all clear to go.
You know, this sounds like a very fun game. I think we're going to need to look at bringing back an RSMB type events type thing and do one of these heist mini games because, I mean, it needs a small amount of people, and when it comes down to it, that is something we could definitely put together, I think. So, we'll look into doing that. Now,
And let's see. And one little thing, Mage, I don't think we should do it tonight. I think most people want to try and do their double XP weekend as much as they can. We'll probably schedule it for another time and day.
yeah, I'm actually heading out in 2 hours, so we do have a hard out, so hopefully we will be done in time. But with that being said, overall the gameplay seems good. It's a very simple premise, and I mean it's just a nice way of doing things on RS that's different. So I'm happy about that. What do we got for rewards, though?
I don't know. I haven't managed to get any of the rewards. Let's go inside and take a look really quick what Jagex says.
Well, you can get Hunter XP or Thieving XP, and then
Bonus XP, I think,
on
though,
the
right?
bonus XP. Yes, it's bonus XP. It's not the windfall. And you can also, like on as a robber, you can get decoys. So if you're being chased by a guard, you can release your decoy, and maybe they'll go
Countermeasures
after that
released.
instead. Right. And you can also get a spade. So if you get thrown in jail, there'll be a spade sitting there under the bed, and you can dig your way out.
You know, it's one of my favorite kind of TV shows to watch, for the ones where people escape from prison.
Let's see.
I know when I was looking at the rewards, they did mention the ability of being able to level up certain aspects of your character, but I didn't exactly see anything that came from this. So it seems as though it's just a way of leveling it up to be more prestigious, and then you can choose the double XP for hunter or thieving based on what you want.
Oh, and the guard can get like a trail to take you to one of the robbers. Forgot about that one.
Oh,
Also,
right. The perks.
you can deploy deploy security sensors or earn a access to a wanted board. Shows you current disguise of all robbers in the area. Or let's see, robbers perks include throwing smoke bombs, smuggle a shovel, and point decoys.
Smoke grenade.
Grenade! All right. So yeah, that's about heist. That pretty much wraps up heist. Unless you guys have any questions, anybody? Mumble? Anybody? Hands?
Yeah, I
No.
mean,
Check.
I ultimately
No.
think
Start
that
singing.
heist is a good way to go in terms of mini games in the future, in terms of being simple and providing a break of what RuneScape has to offer in terms of other mini games and just general gameplay currently. And you know, when you think about it, when you really think about it, you could throw something like this together and this would have been a good part of Dungeoneering. That really just furthers the whole point that Dungeoneering is not a skill. So. All right,
Oh,
heist.
and Mr. Juker.
I'm
and
happy
Mr. Juka, I already sang earlier. You came in too late, so me.
And just a reminder to everybody who is listening after the fact, if you're hearing us talk to random people, that is because we are recording this show live in our Mumble server, testing out this possible format as to how things will go. So just watch out for future live shows. So moving on from Heist, we got a good amount of tweaks and fixes this week. Starting off with Death Lotus darts being improved, now created 25 at a time. Ascension shards needed to create them has been reduced to 25. And the range attack has been increased to 6 squares. And Ava's device can now pick them up.
Okay.
That's the new dart from the port. Have you made any yet?
No, I haven't.
How about you, Tannis?
I have not. I don't have a 90 Hunter, and I think that's the NPC you need to get those missions, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, well, I should be finding out. I just got 90 Hunter a couple hours ago.
I hate you.
What? What did I do?
I couldn't be at home to get 90 Hunter.
Oh.
Unlike you, I have a life.
Ha ha ha. All right, next up, free players now have access to the daily challenge system. They can only have 2 challenges rather than the 5 that members can have. I think that's good.
That's good. That's still good. Give them some bonus XP every day. Give them a challenge to do. Probably mine some copper ore.
Yeah, and I mean, this is something we look forward to for as members because, you know, you get these challenges. I know the Delve into Daemonheim is one of the favorites because it gives out huge, huge amounts of Dungeoneering XP.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's see.
Also, in accordance with this, the Quartermaster has been updated and it's been replaced by Challenge Mistress Farah, and the surrounding area has been updated.
Hey, there's a deposit bar in the Crafting Guild now.
Really?
For those who've completely followed Dora's hard task.
No, that's good. Is that in the release notes?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Uncle
what
Daniel
else
says, yes, it is great. Let's see. Well, here. I'll post this in Mumble, then they can decide what they like as well. We'll spend about 30 seconds, so look fast. Let's see. Aggro range of tribesmen near Divination Colony of Karamja has been reduced for allowing for safer training. Pottery crafting and spinning animations have been smoothed out. Player on port flavor messages have been added to the game's spam filter. That's interesting.
Is that like when you achieve a certain milestone in your ports?
I have no idea.
Hmm. All right. Tannis, right. What about
Mumble?
You? You got
anything
interesting on there?
When I had noticed it looked like there was a graphical update all over the world. I was noticing different colored fog. Of course, you already mentioned Berthrop. So I had to actually turn my settings down because I was starting to lag from it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
wait.
Go ahead,
one more
Shane.
Thing on that before we get into the one reference in Mumble. But that is right, Tannis. Environment lighting has been updated in the opening area, and this seems to have extended to a bunch of other places as well, mainly the Port Saramara area, and it had the sky boxes and whatnot. So lots of people are complaining about this because it's either too saturated or there's black spotches on the ground from the updated graphics options. So, you know, whenever you make an update like this and you bring it in to the game, there's bound to be issues with people's graphics cards because you can only test so many of them internally and you never know what's going to happen on the outside, right? So, I mean, it looks kind of icky at the moment, kind of looks cartoonish in areas, but I think we'll be seeing these getting fixed in the next couple of weeks or so.
Okay.
I already mentioned the Challenge Master. The mole trail indicates the direction it's going to be heading now. So when the mole buries inside the mole lair, it'll actually point in the right direction where you should be going. I mentioned that that was a problem with the mole when that update came out. Also, the mole can be hurt by familiars. Stun abilities do damage to the Queen Black Dragon. That's good. I've been wondering why I haven't been doing damage with my kick or backhand attack. And Mage Guy 08 highlights that veteran capes are now free to play.
Ooh, hey, there's one other thing that Uncle Dano may like in the future. The guards at West Yano Gate have wedged the doors open permanently. So this is good for those who are traveling to the Ogre area. Ooh, I was right. Yay!
You know, doors in RuneScape should never be shut by default. They should be open by default.
Well, remember, they did the whole shutting automatic shutoff to try and stop bots from constantly going in and out.
Right.
And you remember what's it? Rune Essence teleport?
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah. It was funny just to keep closing it all the time and then seeing them running around like headless chickens. Too bad they had a cannon to build right in front of it.
So, Tannis, unless you have anything from the Tweaks and Fixes segment, we're going to move on to the weekly polling update.
Great. I got nothing from that.
All right.
Nothing more to add.
So, the weekly polling update, we have no Friday surprise this week, which is always a good thing. I mean, Friday surprises are never good, seeing as, you know, they've been delivering the bad things in-game and whatnot recently in terms of, you know, maybe things that we don't want. Specifically, what I'm referring to is the fact that holiday items are coming back with being able to be paid for by loyalty points, which we... anybody who listened last week will know that we were not fans of that polling option. Anyways, moving on to this week's polls. The combat level calculation poll is still running. They currently have 73% voting for 138 and 26% voting for 200.
The next one is
a player suggested poll. What did you think of this one there, Trekkie?
What the which one was it? Let's see.
The diamond.
What new item to be given? What new items to be entered in?
Either the high level fish, guild editions, new god emissaries, or clue scroll rewards.
Well, I thought about the high level fish, but then when I was reading it, it felt more like a really annoying mini game while fishing. It's not. I feel like it'll be very profitable. New god emissaries, my god, we don't need more. Most people don't even bother with it anyway. We had the clue scroll, increase the clue scroll rewards, and the guild additions. I actually chose the guild additions. I thought it would be a good chance to actually bring some life back into the guilds in the area. Ranger guild is a very deserted. Cooking guild is here and there. Crafting guild is great if you have Falador stuff.
You know, I'm going to agree with you on that one. I went with Guild Editions as well. The problem with the Clue Scroll rewards is that you can already get so much from Clue Scrolls, and if you add more stuff to them, the chance of getting other things is going to be more remote. Things that you might want.
Well, what did you guys vote for at Mumble?
Tannis, what did you vote for first before we get Mumble? Because I wanted to actually ask... in Mumble after, but Tannis, what did you choose on this?
I went with the guild editions too. I like you guys, they're pretty dead, and I think that should be a bigger part. I'm actually kind of surprised that the clue scroll isn't winning, actually.
Well, the clue scroll is winning with 51%.
Okay, well, there you go. I thought it said 5.
Yeah, I mean, clue scrolls are good, but I feel like unless you're doing a level 4 clue, you're always getting junk from them, and I don't want more junk. I don't.
Not to mention you need to have a nice warehouse of all the clue scroll items that normally you don't have, but you need to have them, otherwise you can't get them. I have blue dragonhide pieces of armor with me, not because I need it. I wear it to fight. It's because I need it for clue scrolls. It's quite annoying.
All right, so now going to Mumble to really highlight the strength of this format. Is there anybody in Mumble who would like to speak on the player suggestion poll? First one to say yes gets it, and I will unmute your microphone.
No. Laugh. Silence. Okay, move on to the next one then. No.
Anyone?
What is there to say? Anything you want. It's a live show.
Okay, let's extend this. Let's extend this. Let's get somebody's opinion in here on the combat level calculation poll. That is a contentious one. There has to be something to say on that from people here. Anybody have anything to say on the 138 versus 200 calculation?
Sure, if no one else wants to do it. They're both flawed. Well, your choice, Shane.
All right, we are going to go with MageGuy08. You are being unmuted now. Hey, MageGuy08, what do you think? Why do you think they're both flawed? Why is that?
Well, I mean, with the level 138, I mean, every skill has to be pretty much the same level for it to count. You might have somebody who has maybe 99 defense and one everything else, and they're, maybe combat level 40. With the 200, okay, I have 99 attack, or maybe even 99 prayer and 99 defense, and I'm max combat.
So in other words, what you're saying is that 200, you really don't have to do enough, but 138, you can do all sorts of things and appear as low level and really mislead people.
Yeah, basically, 200, the mastery isn't really there. At 138, you might master most of the skills, but you won't look like you have.
All right. And what would your ideal solution be to fix this?
Definitely a new calculation. Maybe a magic-based versus a ranged-based versus a melee-based combat level.
All right. What if they were able to take the 138 formula and make magic, ranged, and melee have the same weight and also drop the constitution and defense?
That could work, because I know the way 138 works, things like magic and ranged, you might have to gain 50 or 60 levels in it to get one combat level towards the end.
All right. And this is something I said once we figured out which way this poll was going to be going, and that is that, yes, you know, this poll is happening, and I don't agree with going back to 138, but at the same time, we are opening up a can of worms by doing that as to what we'll be opening up ourselves to in the future. What does the future hold for polls? And really, does a formula that ends in 138 work for people who want the 138 formula?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Even if it's not calculated in the old fashion.
I mean, I feel like some of these polls should have a none of the above option for things like that. Just have them go and rethink it from scratch.
I mean, in theory, if you wanted to, you could take the current formula and make it 138, just put some multiplier on it, and then there you go.
It doesn't seem like it would work.
Yeah. Do you, either of you guys have any other questions for MageGuy08?
No, well, I don't.
Welcome to the live show.
Thanks, guys.
Alrighty, thank you. Alright, so moving on that poll, we got Marimbo versus Brassica Prime event rewards, and this will be the Easter event. The choices are Seed Recycler, Herb Bag, Overflow Vial, Slayer VIP Ticket, or Farming Accelerator.
I bet I know which one you picked, Shane.
Okay.
Was it the farming one?
No, I actually picked the Overflow Vial.
The Herb one?
Yeah,
I picked the Herb Bag.
What did you guys pick?
Yeah, I picked the Herb Bag, too.
Yeah. I kind of figure, you know, for those who are, you know, like doing Slayer, and, you know, some monsters are really good at dropping herbs more than others, having the Herb Bag is quite useful. It's kind of like having a gem bag when you go and slaying Abyssal Demons or any other demons, because they drop a lot more gems. I just carry that with me now every time I go. It's very nice.
Oh, really? I didn't know you could
use it for that. Got a ton of rubies. Got a ton of rubies and diamonds.
Okay. I chose the Overflow Vial for this reason. Herblore, if you invest in it heavily, as in you make extreme potions or overloads, Herblore is a very fast skill to train. And I don't think skills need to become faster in game, so that's why I didn't vote for the Herb Bag. I did vote for the Overflow Vial of having that pocket item to give you a bit of extra XP along the way. But
I don't know what you sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just gonna run through the percentages, which are 19% for the recycler, 9% for the Herb Bag, 6% for the vial, and 46% for the VIP ticket, and 18% for the farming accelerator. So why are people voting for the VIP ticket?
I think they're trying to get the Abyssal Whips and whatnot, or since you can switch. Let's see, they don't want to give away their points, their Slayer points. Maybe there's a better way for them to switch around.
Let me see.
What did it say again?
Because the way the Slayer VIP ticket sounds is that you're going to be able to choose between two tasks when you get a Slayer task, which is good, I guess, but I don't think it's overly necessary. It's changing something about Slayer that doesn't exactly need to be changed.
Well, I think it's one of those how many times people don't want a particular monster, a particular task, so they cancel it and then grab another one. I think it's one of those little ways of saving points. You're supposed to get it. You can only use it one time, from what I can see from this. And you can kind of choose, you know, either the lesser of two evils or the one that's more beneficial to you.
All right. Tannis, what do you think of the VIP ticket?
I think it's the popularity of Slayer just in general. And especially, like Trekkie said, with having the demon rework drop tables, it just seemed like that was having an effect on the polling. I don't think it's necessary, really, especially given that we do have the mask, and they're already out there, and you're already, you know, if you have a demon mask, you're already you're going to get that task. So it seems like it's redundant.
Yeah, and, you know, with all these polls, there should be, according to Duke Juker, a leave it up to Jagex option. I completely agree with that.
Then I agree no with that. Having any polls and just get rid of polls altogether.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. I said, in 18 months, the game is either going to be very confusing or we're going to have no polls. Anyways, go ahead, Tannis.
You know, I think the polling is a good thing. But it needs to be severely limited, or more options on the poll, because just take the combat level poll, for example. It's pretty contentious, but what I don't think a lot of people are realizing, it's 73%? Because a lot of people are voting for the choice, not necessarily or the legacy, I'm sorry. But I think a lot of people voted to have the choice rather than they actually wanted that to come in game. But they wanted people to be able to choose.
So you're saying that people are voting for that because they just want the ability to choose something?
Yes. Yeah. I think there's, you know, there's a silent, probably maybe even a silent majority of people that are fine with the OC as it is and are really going to love when the beta's done and comes in the game. But they don't want to tell someone you don't have a choice. So they're going ahead and voting for it.
Yeah. And that's all, honestly, what power to the player comes down to. And like I said, some things it's fine, other things no. Just leave it to Jagex. But that's this week's polling update. We're going to move on from that right now. Next up is Game Blast, 24-hour live stream and the Double XP Weekend. And that's why we're doing this live show, because Double XP Weekend give people the ability to listen to this show while doing Double XP on RS. So, with that being said, what did you guys watch from the live stream yesterday?
I watched
Heist. I watched the Heist. I think you and I probably just, you know, decided to click on that exact same time because I got home late and I saw that and say, see what's there? Oh, yes, he's one of them. Yes, I got him. Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, was I actually watched quite else? A bit.
Okay.
I had watched the Heist. I had watched, there was a couple segments that had Mod Osborne, who was talking about some of the future polls that I thought were really interesting, things that might be coming in March, which was they had mentioned maybe a post-99 achievement cape, possibly one of the choices being like a 200 mil in a skill cape. And there were, I'm not sure, you know, that was just one of the choices. They weren't completely sure about all the choices. There's also going to be a quest poll that will come out to whether we want a end of series quest, a standalone quest, or a 6-stage quest. And then they have options within those, I believe.
See, this is the thing. Yeah?
Okay, go ahead.
This is the thing.
Do your monologue.
Like that. We were told last year we were going to be getting a 6-stage quest. And from what I understand, lore was not going to be polled in these Power to the Player polls. And granted, they're not saying, should we do this quest line, should we do that quest line. They are polling on what type of quest. And the progression it's going to take is, of course, going to be different than what Jagex would have wanted. So I don't agree with that.
Well, as I remember, most of the stuff is already in the pipeline. It's more, remember back then it was either do the Elven quest or the invention skill. They all both have it there ready to go. Just see, hey, which one deserves more focus first. And think about this, Shane, end of series. It may end up being the Elf quest as well. The Elf quest will be the end of the series.
And that's the thing. This poll better not be on the Elf quest, whether it be an intermediate one or the end of series. You and I both know. After 10 years, this quest has to end now. Not another 5 years. It needs to end in 2014.
Well, and it could even get confusing because there's going to be polling coming out on the direction of the Elf City as it is. The things I've heard about how that might look is going to be pretty cool. I had seen, I think it was Mod Osborne again, and talking about a kind of like a clock, thinking of the Elf City as a clock in different sections, different wedges kind of the pie are going to have XP increases for when you're skilling or training in that area, along with a portal and a Grand Exchange.
Well, that's interesting. So aside from the polls, what else would you say were highlights of the stream?
It was kind of interesting to see some of the specific developers that were in charge of like a given quest, I had the guy from Missing Presumed Death, and he went all the way through the quest. So I watched one like that. I watched one with Takar, where they were fighting that and going through that quest. So those were kind of neat, just to actually watch, you know, a J-Mod do that. There were questions, you know, and I mean, there were so many, I can't really remember them right now. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
And I would like to point out that at the end of the stream, they ended it with a Mod Mark twerk.
It didn't take you back to port?
He sang about that, yeah, but he did not.
Mm.
Anyways, let's not forget the most important thing of what this double XP weekend is centered around, and that's the special effect charity. JX is giving a huge, huge amount of money to special effect. And as of recording this show, $20,307 US in game have been given to the charity. 5,516 of that are from coins, and 14,790 are from bonds. Plus, through the Just Giving page that they set up, and they had people donating to all throughout the live stream, they were able to raise £9,200, £9,273 to be exact, which is about $15,433 US for a grand total of $35,740 in 24 hours.
Wow, that is great. That is just awesome.
And that's still going up. Why? Because if you're in game this weekend, you can still dump items, dump GP, dump bonds, whatever you might want to in the Well of Goodwill. So that is an option for everybody who has wealth in game and might not be able to contribute in the real world. Now, Tanis, tell us what you think of this charity and why it's so important to you.
Well, the special effect charity is really important to me because I myself am a disabled gamer. I have a genetic eye disease, so I'm pretty severely visually impaired. And I've had to use assistive technology, you know, all through my life. And to see a charity that is applying it to gaming just really means a lot. That was the first time that I had seen anything like that. You know, I'm pretty used to either being trained or training people on different kinds of software or different, you know, assistive technologies, and never in the context of gaming. And after really, you know, looking at their site and watching some of their videos, I think it's amazing because it can do so much, you know, so much, especially for children. You know, you can get a lot of cognitive development. It's becoming a means to therapy, and it's, you know, it is an expensive thing. So I'm extremely proud of the way the community has come together and contributed.
One thing that this charity made me realize is that, you know, Jagex really, really does, at the end of the day, bring it home to the players. They want their game to be playable by everyone. They want it to be accessible. And I think by supporting this charity, that is the ultimate way of saying that. And anybody who really thinks otherwise needs to look at their efforts regarding this charity and just how much work they put into supporting these guys. And then through that, you can see, you know, based on what they stand for, that really says something about Jagex and the RuneScape community as a whole.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, in RuneScape itself, I mean, I don't want to give away too much because this is an upcoming article that I have, but RuneScape is actually a really accessible game for someone that's visually impaired.
So I take it we'll be hearing more about that in an upcoming Informer article.
Yes. I mean, I can give you a little bit. A little
yeah, give
taste.
Us a quick tease. Tell us just the main headline.
I'm trying to think of what my title was. It's titled "How RuneScape Got Me Back in the Game." Basically, you know, I've been gaming since my first Atari, and the nature of my disease is that it is progressive. So I had always had it. I was born with it, but it didn't kick in until I was a teenager. And so it became very challenging to continue that hobby. And I talk a lot about that in the article and how this particular game was different than any other game that I had tried to play because I couldn't play it. I'll give you the obvious update that has had just a tremendous impact is this interface system. That has been incredible for me. I went through a lot of years of if I was in combat, I could only watch what my guy was doing, and I couldn't see the chat boxes or I couldn't see the inventory because I have a screen magnifier, which is great because it makes things big enough for me to see it, but it only allows for a certain portion of the screen.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah, that's I don't want to give you too much, but
well, thanks for the little bit that we got, and I'll make sure that everybody reads that once it's out on Informer, and you know. It's just a great thing to do to see a game we all like, Jagex, coming together around this cause and the community coming around it as well. It's just a really great thing. And I think we're hard-pressed in gaming communities and other games to actually find a community that has pulled together for things like this in the past. So once again, RuneScape is setting the trail as for the direction things ought to go in the future.
Yeah, I'm so proud of the community, and I've never seen anything like it before. And I think, you know, we had talked about this before. It's even changed, you know, just in the last few years.
Yep.
It's just a very generous community and a very mature community.
I completely agree with you there. So. Game Blast 2014 still going on. We got about another 36 hours or so bonus XP to work with, so get back in game, raise that GP, put them in the well of goodwill, help Jagex out. Alrighty. Actually, maybe what I'll do tonight, since I finished my Hunter, is I'll do some QBD trips, and whatever I get from the QBD will go into the well. That's a good idea.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. Anyways, moving on from that. Tennis?
I was just going to say that I'm actually going to donate $1 for every level that I get. Now, that wasn't my idea. I actually, Mod Osborne had said it. So I thought, you know, that is a great idea and a great kind of thanks for the double XP weekend. So I'll be donating $1 for every level.
Excellent. Excellent, and I'm sure there's lots of other people in the community who are doing similar things, and props to you guys for doing that. Even
I'll
if you can't
new accounts.
Even if you can't donate that much, just anything you can put into that well helps out greatly. All right, so moving on to something I got a good kick out of this week, and that's the Solomon's General Store Circus Teleports.
You'd like your little gymnastics, didn't you, Shane?
Yeah, so there's three new teleport options for the circus ones. First one is the trapeze teleport. Second is the cannon teleport. And then the magician teleport. So the magician will lock you in a box and drive deadly swords into you, and then you'll disappear. So I actually bought one of these. Normally I don't buy cosmetic items, but I actually bought the trapeze teleport, and it is just amazing. How funny that thing is. I get a kick out of it, and I've teleported numerous times just to see the emote.
I like my Pegasus. Or is that Star Trek teleporting move? I created that a couple years ago. However, it kind of disappeared. I had the whole uniform thing, too.
Yes, yes, I want that. I want that.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
I put on a little. I was a yellow shirt.
Oh, that's good. You were in a red shirt.
Actually, if I dig through the forum, I probably could find that picture again.
Yeah. but yeah, basically, what happens with this with the trapeze one is it's a trapeze act. It's the longest teleport. You basically swing up through a trapeze. You grab onto it with your legs, and then you sit on it, and then you just do one more huge jump, and you go catapulting off towards the direction of your teleport. Which I don't know. I just found it really amusing to see it. So that's the one I picked up, but. There's also Cannon and Magician Teleport. Did either of you guys pick these up?
No.
No.
I like my Pegasus. And Uncle Dana agrees with me. Pegasus Energize.
Yeah, see? Except the Pegasus got stuck in a rock.
Oh. Star Trek reference number 2. Mark that down.
Alrighty.
Somebody was keeping tabs. Who was it?
I think Mage Guy, but yeah, he's got it.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
So you can pick these up in Solomon's General Store. Moving on from this, kind of a bit of a surprise this week, but a good surprise, isn't it? Revolution, Ability Queuing, and Momentum Plus are coming to game next week.
Okay.
Thoughts?
This will be I haven't tried it, so... It would be interesting for me.
Double face palm.
Double face palm. Star Trek reference number 3.
All right. What about you, Tanis? You had a chance to try Revolution or Momentum Plus?
I had, when it first came out, I haven't been back lately because I've been stuck in the rune span for a week trying to get 90 RC. But what I will say is I'm really looking forward to it. I just really hope it's together when they release it.
They are going to be.
It looks like it might be. But, you know, I guess you always worry.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the general thing with shipping games in general is that you can have things that might not be on time and then you need to put them out separately. So not that big of a problem, but... I will say that initially I was opposed to Revolution, but I had an idea click in my head when talking with Jason on Informer as to how Revolution can actually revolutionize the evolution of combat and maybe, just maybe, provide a fix to Legacy Mode, and that's where Momentum comes into play. And at this point, I'm going to invite everybody to watch our latest episode of RSBNB Update Supplemental entitled Is Momentum Needed? Where I talk about some interesting things as to where Revolution leads and then how Momentum fits in with that and what we can do with Momentum at the end of the day. So,
Had they done Revolution early on, there may never have been this kind of blowback against the OC. Had it been part of the original package.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I first had that epiphany. Because it all comes down to player feedback. And with players not participating in the first Evolution of Combat beta, we could not get the diversity of opinion and group thought consciousness flowing through this. So the more people that contribute to providing ideas, something like this might appear, and we could have had this come in with the first Evolution of Combat, and like you said, we wouldn't have had the huge amount of troubles with it. But that ship has set sail. We discussed that in Supplemental 1, What is a Beta? So you can go back and watch that as to what exactly is going on with Jagex's betas and what they carry out. But overall, I am happy with this update, and I think you guys are too, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, that's pretty much it for RS updates of the week. You can find the YouTube channel at youtube.com/rsbnbstaff. That's where all the supplementals are. We are on a weekly schedule for those now as well, so those are going, and they're going to start looking a bit more professional in the coming weeks as well, with some custom-made graphics and whatnot. So look for those eventually. All right, so I think it's time for questions now. What do you guys say?
Woo!
Let's go.
We got three audio questions this week, and the first one is from 101Duck1.
Hey, guys. It's 101Duck1 here. Long time no ask. So today I have a question about betas. As Shane has recently pointed out, and as anyone can really see from the results of the EOC beta, RS players simply aren't willing to give up their precious in-game time to do what is perceived as an XP waste. Most RS players are relatively short-sighted and feel like any time spent on the beta is pretty much a waste, even though clearly it isn't. With that knowledge, do you believe that it would benefit Jagex to put in some sort of incentive to play the beta? For example, maybe for every hour spent in the beta, you could get like 150% XP for the same amount of time when you log into the live game, something like that. If you think something like this could work, please enlighten us with a system you believe would add incentive to playing the beta enough to draw a larger sample. Well, that's all I have for this week. Thanks for the awesome show, and have a great week.
All right, so beta incentives. Let's start with you, Tanis. What do you think?
I think that's a really interesting idea. I think it could definitely help, and I think he's right. People do perceive it as an XP waste, and it's too bad because we do need more people in there. But the alternative to that, like you have spoke on numerous occasions, is having maybe a little bit more limited access. Give it an exclusivity to it. But I think having some kind of reward is worthwhile. Should look into it.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that betas typically work best when you have a targeted group of testers. This means that for a combat beta, you get people who represent the entire spectrum of combat, all the way from 4 to 200. You get people who have diversity of stats. You get people who are all three combat types. You get people who used to be peers. You get people who are skillers. You basically get as diverse a group as you can. Then you put these people in the beta, and you have them play it as the real game. Now, the easy way of going about this is to, like you said and like I've said in the past, is to limit beta access based on people who fit the target demographic of who you want to test with. And then what you do is you bring these people into the beta, you bring a small group in initially, and these people are under NDA. That means that if you talk about what you see in this beta, if you post crap about it or post in general, just tell people about it, your account gets banned. So that happens for the first month or 2 weeks of the beta. Then we move on to phase two. Phase two of a combat beta should be exactly like phase one, except expand out the reach of people who are in this beta and drop the NDA at this point. And then phase three is what Jagex started with, where you can open up the beta to everybody and see what people have to say about it. And when it comes down to it, the first two phases are going to be the most valuable for testing. Phase three is really just a phase of testing where you iron out issues, where you have little oddities between hardware setups and player configurations. And like 101Duck1 said, in phases two and three, when you have these people who are testing the beta, the simple way of getting them to be engaged is to make sure that XP gains that they get on the beta are transferred over to the main game. And you can do that because it's a closed beta group in phases one and two. Then when you get to phase three, like 101Duck1 said, for every certain amount of XP you get a certain bit of bonus XP in the game. That's a great way of doing it, and it would really fix a lot of the problems that we have with betas that JX runs. Mm. All right. How about you, Trekkie?
Well, you guys pretty much cover a little bit of everything. You guys have more experience in betas than I do. You want to pass the mic over to anyone?
No, actually, I don't at this point because we are running kind of low on time. We are already an hour in. And I have to be gone in an hour from now. So we're just going to move straight on to the next question then. The next question is from Maramska.
Hello, Shane, Tricky, and live show Pete. How you doing, Maramska here? Hosts, what skill are you currently or will be doing this bonus XP weekend? Secondly, why does Ecto, Functus, and Prayer in general doesn't seem to get the bonus XP treatment? Granted, the XP gain isn't as quick as some other skills. The XP gain on Ecto, Functus isn't that great to begin with. Why not double XP that? Never understood. Third, Trekkie, when are you getting a new laptop? You always seem to have issues with it. And Shane, what laptop would you recommend Trekkie getting? An Apple and a PC? Because we always need a backup plan for Mac haters. Anyways, I'll talk to you next time. Maramska out.
Yeah. Maramska, don't forget, I do have ban options here.
Well, like I said, I'm working on Hunter.
Okay, I'll get Hunter later. What did you catch anyway? Well, or should we? I'll ask you later near the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you, Tannis? What have you been up to?
I'm working on Herblore, of course, trying to do some extremes and summoning, of course, is the other big one, and probably a little fletching. And I might actually been a little overambitious, but we'll see how much of that I can get through.
Don't right. I know it.
And you can finally reveal the big secret that you've been working on for bonus XP weekend, I assume?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm literally, as of right now, one potion away from getting 99 Herb Blur. I'll do that later, do a little mini party and be done with that. Let's see. What else? Right now I'm smithing, but I don't think I have enough to get to 90 smithing, although I think I'll be relatively close. I think if Citadel... Oh, FYI.
FYI.
Okay, if you want, I'm down. FYI, Citadel does double XP, so I got really... good bunch of smithing XP from yesterday. Before bed, I'm going to do my annual farming run because I'm going to do this once and then I'm never touching it again. let's see. Whoops. What else is there? I'm going to get my 90 Hunter. I'll get that later. I'm only 300k away. That's actually what me and Mike have been doing, Shane.
What?
Me and Mike has been doing divine box traps for the past month or so. I got from 86 to 89. I never told you about it. And I'll try and go for 96 summoning so I can get the yaks. I don't know if I have enough stuff. I'll find that out later. What the hell was that?
I don't know.
And, and then probably, I don't know, probably blow the rest on divination, do a little dungeoneering.
Well, it sounds you have the most in-depth plan out of all of us.
Oh, actually, well, if I really wanted to, I could get 99 fire making. But I don't know yet if I should or not.
No, don't do that. All right.
Why not? I'm only 98.
Are you getting a laptop at any point?
No, why? Mine's fixed. Mine's fine. And Maramuska, I will kill you. Don't talk about my baby that way.
All right. Well, I don't see the need to point out a good Windows laptop until someone asks for it. But thank you, Maramuska, for that question.
Acer has been good to me.
Hello, next audio question is from the legendary Uncle Dano.
How you doing, Moronsky?
Whoops. I started playing the wrong one.
What the?
All right, let's try this again. Next audio question is from the legendary Uncle Dano.
My lords and my ladies, squires and maidens, woot! It's
GamePlus Double XP Weekend!
Greetings, everyone. Uncle Dano back with an audio question after quite a long hiatus. I hope everyone is having a very productive Double XP Weekend. My question for you actually doesn't deal with this weekend, but with the future Inventor skill. I'm very much looking forward to this skill because of its potential for creativity, an aspect that I very much enjoyed in the construction skill. I believe from what I've heard so far that the Inventor skill would require the use of divine energy. So as part of my divination training, I'm amassing as much energy as I can. So my question to you is, what other supplies do you think may be required in order to train the Inventor skill quickly? Basic ingredients such as logs and ores, planks and bars, or perhaps pieces of armor? I would like to build up as many resources as I can prior to the skill coming out. Thank you for taking my audio question. I wish you all Godspeed and another fine day in the scape. And all the best during
GamePlus Double XP Weekend!
You know, that's great. You know, Uncle Dano, they should really hire you to do an intro for the Game Blast videos. Anyways, Inventor. I honestly think Inventor is going to be a sink for all of the items that we have in our banks that we no longer need. So whether you are leveling up smithing with Addy plates or later on rune plates, whatever kind of garbage you get from smithing stuff that's not useful anymore, that is going to be the secondary ingredients to the Inventor skill.
Ooh-wee.
What do you guys think?
Just replace Wise Old Man with Uncle Dano. True words have never been spoken. Let's see. Inventor skill. I don't know. We bumped heads with about this a while back, Shane. We all kind of have an idea.
And we nailed it.
How we'll... don't know. It's always too early to tell. But we basically said that it will be a way to imbue armor and weapons and other items to make them better. But maybe they'll go... Maybe they'll actually do something where you have to discover items. Like you have to, I don't know, try the energy, use your divine creativity, and try and mithril bar with a rune plate axe, and you'll make it a mithril rune armor or something. Or ascended armor.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's going to be entirely possible to combine things like a rune two-hander, maybe your dungeoneering longsword, and create some sort of level 90 weapon that is going to be very, very powerful. So once you create that, it'll level up with you. So I think it's not only going to be the junk from your skilling that you have in your bank, but it's also going to be things that you picked up along the journey in RuneScape. So dungeoneering stuff, barrow stuff, basically stuff that you used to use but you have no use for nowadays. How about you, Tannis?
I kind of agree with both of you. I could definitely see it introducing like something completely new in the way of like having composites, like what Trekkie was saying, mithril rune, and you know they could really the possibilities are endless with that, and you know they could also be imbuing, you know, armor that's already here. I don't know. It's kind of open. It's kind of open with what they can do.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think we're going to see mashups per se. I think we're going to see things that have unique names to them and maybe even be able to name your own items. So, I mean, it just comes down to keeping what you have. All right, well, I think we're done with that question. Anybody else have anything in Mumble? Okay, we got the Dano Dagger.
Actually, you know what?
Bot traps, steam trains.
Maybe we'll be able to create our own cosmetic items.
That would be good. That'd be good. Create a Star Trek uniform.
Yeah. I already did. Many moons ago. Thank you, Mage Guy 08. Oh, hell no. Jerk, Dana. I already have a tiara. I don't need a tutu.
Alrighty, well, thank you for those questions, everyone. Remember, if you want to send an audio question like these fine people did, just email them to questions@rsbaby.com. Alrighty, time for tech news. Alright, so, anybody ever hear of WhatsApp?
Nope.
WhatsApp. What's that app?
Well, WhatsApp is a messaging application that is secure, basically a peer-to-peer messaging type thing. A little social network that has gained prevalence in the past number of years, and Facebook bought them this week for $19 billion. $19 billion for a mobile application. Has the world gone mad?
Well, they have a lot of money to flog around.
I know, and that's the thing. From an economics point of view, it's kind of concerning that things with so little value are just being thrown around like this. I mean, obviously Facebook has to see value with it, but $19 billion is huge. Let's remember that when YouTube was purchased by Google, it was initially bought for $1.6 billion only. So, I mean, I've said before, Facebook needs to innovate to stay around, and I think with this, they've actually got it. Basically, it comes back to what I've said in the past. Teenagers these days are increasingly focused on third-party services, Instagram, Snapchat, Vine, things like that, you name it. So what Facebook needs to do is they need to find a way to extend their reach into these services and become one with them. And WhatsApp allows them to do that through a different form of messaging in a similar way as to how Snapchat, Instagram, and Vine all work. And that is just creating instant, spur-of-the-moment social interactions. That's my rationale on it. Tanis, have you ever heard of WhatsApp?
I haven't.
Okay.
But I'm a little behind. You know, I don't do the Snapchat or any of that stuff either. Really, just
neither
regular
do we.
Old Facebook.
So
I hate Facebook. Everyone who doesn't knows that.
Yeah, we don't really do that. But I mean, yeah, it's fine to see that much value in it, but. Tech bubble? Anyone? Yes? No? Maybe so?
Yeah.
I mean, with just this much money being thrown around, and if something happens pertaining to this, maybe things that are bad could happen with the market. But one important thing is I don't think that WhatsApp and Facebook are as prevalent as Amazon and eBay were back in the first tech bubble. So we do have that going for us. All right. Anything else on WhatsApp from anyone? Tanis, Trekkie, Mumble?
Do the Facebook.
Right. Whatever that means. Okay. Next piece of tech news is Microsoft cutting prices of Windows 8.1 license fees by 70%. This is a rumor, but it would certainly make sense for Microsoft to do this. Because, as it stands right now, Windows computers are becoming cheaper, and there's certainly other competition out there with things like Chromebooks and cheap tablets like the $40 tablet story from 2 weeks ago. We remember that one, right?
Yes, tablet.
So
Surface.
Basically, by making Windows 8.1 cheaper to licensors, Microsoft is able to allow these companies to create cheap pieces of hardware and better compute with Chromebooks and whatnot, which makes sense when you think about it, because Chromebooks are essentially Google Chrome on a laptop, and that's it. And I'm going to admit that Windows 8 is much more powerful than a Chromebook. So it definitely makes sense why Microsoft wants to go there. And it will also help with pushing the prevalence of Windows 8, which is something Microsoft needs to do.
Okay.
Overall, it's a good thing.
Yeah, sadly, I still haven't used Windows 8 very much.
Oh. Tanis, are you on Windows 8 or Windows 7?
I do Windows 7. So, you know, a little reluctant to go to 8 when this is working just fine. Because it's got the full screen magnifier and narrator actually already built right. in. So I'm always afraid that the next time it might be, you know, jacked up somehow.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, when you are doing critical work like that and you need it to work 100% of the time, it just makes sense to stick with what you know. That's why I don't upgrade software on OS X. When I get an upgrade for my recording software, I don't touch it. So, completely understandable there. All right, and finally, Google is exploring new cities for Google Fiber. So, cities and metropolitan areas that Google could be looking at are Portland, San Jose, Salt Lake City, Phoenix, San Antonio, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. So, huge expansion for Google Fiber.
Yeah, well, so, potential expansion. Currently, Provo, Utah, Austin, Texas, and Kansas City, Kansas are the only ones that have Google Fiber thus far. They are planning to extend it throughout the other areas. So it's going to come out, but we'll see what happens. Let's see. Yeah, just a little quote someone says here. Julian Castro, the mayor of San Antonio, Texas, declared in June that every school should have access to gigabyte speed by 2020. So in about 6 years, San Antonio could be one of the most fastest internet spot in the country. Bring it up further north. Yes, please. That would be nice. Actually, you should be happy. It's by Portland.
Basically, what happens here is each of these metropolitan areas has a certain amount of cities associated with them. So if you do live near one of these areas that I mentioned, you can just go to this blog post, and they do have a list of what these cities look like. So you can see if your city will be included in this metropolitan area. And it's important to note that with Google Fiber, the idea is that people who live in one of these cities will essentially be able to get a free basic level of internet access. And it is good by today's standards. I think it's something like, 15 megabits down, if I remember correctly, something like that. But it is definitely fast enough to perform today on the modern internet. So definitely good for these cities to be included in the fiber campaign. And gigabit internet is the way to go. And it is something that does need to be done in order for the future of the internet, is to ensure that anybody who wants it is able to get a fast internet connection. Because it's similar to cities and houses in rural areas getting electricity in the 1920s. Prior to that, there was a good portion of the United States that had no electricity. And by bringing electricity to these places, it vastly improved the quality of life for these people. And the same thing can be done for people who don't have access to reliable internet infrastructure. And ultimately, when it comes down to it, investing in this is important because it is this century's electricity. It is the 19th century sewage. It is that level of thing that we are talking about here. So I'm glad Google has taken the step to make this happen.
You know, it's also what's also interesting is that Time Warner is actually starting in San Antonio and Austin, Texas. They're actually starting to reevaluate their services in the area because of Google Fiber. There was an article a couple of days ago, which I was looking through, that Time Warner is planning on reevaluate all their package, their internet package deals, to give them more speed, same cost, lower cost, etc.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's one of those things where they need this.
Google is such a huge player that they can do that. They can shake the market up like that. So there's nothing bad that can come from this, and it's just great to see expansion on this.
Well,
Tanis, what do you think?
This way.
Yeah, I think it's the new utility, you know. Probably should be treated as such. That's
all right.
Pretty much all I have on that.
Yeah, it's as important as electricity, water, or gas, or whatever kind of utilities you might get into your own house.
They made their own island.
Alrighty, yeah, well, I'm done with tech news, so I think you can take us to the skill of the month for February.
Oh, God. You guys ready? Oh, my God. Holy schnizzle.
What have we got?
Flash here when Nuts, he's in the lead after being like second, third place since, 2 weeks ago. Then he shot up, but Mage Guy 08 is actually not that far behind. He has plenty of time to get ahead with the bonus XP weekend. And as I was talking to both of these earlier, they're actually either very close or they're keeping it very, very hush-hush that the other guy doesn't know. And we also have Fish, who, you know, clear!
A.K.A. Fish has flatlined. Is that what you're trying to say?
A little bit.
Okay.
All right, so it will be an interesting weekend. Beat his butt. Any bets in Mumble who's going to win this month? Any bets? Any takers? Any bets?
You know, I love it when a Skill of the Month competition becomes truly competitive. Granted, everybody else under the top three has flatlined, but it's always good to see competition. The Skill of the Month for March is Prayer, if anyone wants to sign up for that. Any takers? Anyone want to spend money on a skill?
You know what, Shane?
What's that?
Let's see. Give me a second. Shoot, hold up.
So while we're waiting, Tanis, what's your favorite skill of the month, if you were to compete in one?
Oh,
if I was to compete in one, it would have to be construction. That's my favorite skill.
There you go.
Yeah, I completely have to agree. It has to be something that you want to get motivated about, because if you can't get motivated, you really can't train for it. So, I
agree
with
you. All right, Shane, I did it.
What did you do?
I signed up for prayer.
Oh, wow.
I'm just gonna use up all the bones and stuff that is, get one extra. No, I'm gonna use all the bones that I have in my bank, and that's it. Maybe frost dragons if I feel that anxious.
Don't give your secrets out.
What?
Okay, never mind.
You know how many dragon bones I have in my bank?
No, how many?
I was gonna ecto over the weekend, but. And they said there was no doubles. I said, oh, screw it.
How much? 25,000?
Oh, dude, if I had that much, shoot, I'd flog them all.
All right. With that being said.
More than four, you jerks.
So we're going to move on to achievements of the week. We got four of them this week. And something tells me we're going to be having more of them next week. First up is Devo338 with 99 summoning on the 21st.
Oops, sorry. And we have also Poison Nova, who got 99 Fletching on February 21st.
Magic King 610 got 99 Woodcutting on the 20th. Congratulations there, Magic King. You're in Mumble at the moment. And finally...
And we got Parnassius, who got 99 Prayer on February 20th.
Woo! Good job, everyone. Good job indeed.
And congrats.
Tannis, do you have any 99s?
Have a few. Construction, woodcutting, cooking. There's another one. I can't remember right now.
Yeah, they are hard to remember once you get about more than four of them. I will admit that. But yeah, anyways. I should also mention our RSBNB Informer articles from this week. The Future of Technology, written by yours truly. And Making RuneScape Peer Again by Lord Rickles, in which he advocates for the peers' return to the game, as it would do the game some good. So give that a read and see what he has to say about peers and RuneScape. And both of those can be found at informer.rsbnb.com. And of course, you'll also be able to find Tannis's article there next week. So look for that as well, as he gave a great tease for what is coming in terms of his second article as an RSBNB Informer writer.
Hey, Shane.
Yes.
Hey, Shane. Quick little thing. Good news, bad news.
Okay, let's have the good news first.
Okay, bad news first, because actually it makes it better. I used up all my bars, and I don't have 90 smithing.
Oh.
Which... Good news is I'm exactly 1.3k away from 90 smithing, so thank God. I'm gonna head to the Citadel.
Well, that is.
I'm gonna head to the Citadel and pray there's charcoal left in there.
All right.
I'm broke. Unless Uncle Dana wants to make J1 slightly richer.
So, moving on from that, Tannis, would you happen to have a pick of the week for us this week?
You know, my pick of the week is Special Effect. Just a awesome, awesome charity.
All right. I completely understand with choosing that, given the personal connection that we've been talking about it so much on RuneScape. So, great choice right there. And, you know, just a reminder once again that if you have items laying around on RS, dump them in the Well of Goodwill, or even go to Jagex's Just Giving page if you want to... give actual money to JAX. And as I mentioned before, over $35,000 raised in 24 hours so far with this charity. So if you're listening to this later in the week, just dump items into the well or make a donation to JAX. It's a great charity that Tannis really likes here. He has a personal connection with it. And I honestly think this is the best thing that we could do as a community, is to get behind another charity. It's a great pick.
Huzzah! Excellent.
All right, so rounding up near the end of the show here. So, Tannis, what have you been up to this week?
I pretty much spent the whole week in RuneSpan trying to get 90 RuneCrafting so I could make my own Sea Singer. Other than that, just getting, you know, some last-minute stuff together for Double XP.
That's good. 90 RuneCrafting is always a good... It's a good goal to have because you get that level 90 armor and you're only one level away from level 91, which gives you double nature runes, which can make a good amount of money these days.
You 92 or 91?
I'm 91. Nature. Tannis got 90.
Okay.
All right. And Shane? You first.
Me? All right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do I guess I'll follow Uncle Dana's advice. I'm going to try to get me as close as I can to the goals that I want, and then I'm just going to level them all up all at once. And party in my house!
That's definitely a good thing to do.
And I got plenty of kegs. I'm going to throw a kegger in my kitchen, so welcome to come.
All right.
Solo for the
So aside from preparing for bonus XP weekend, anything other interesting for you?
Anything other interesting for me? No, nothing really much happened. Not yet, anyway. Let's see.
All right.
Anything happened? I did some dungeoneering over the week, early in the week. Had two very bad groups. One group where they were more of arguing with each other than actually doing anything, and I got another group who one person was complaining, he should keep moving. I was like, I'm going to leave. Like, oh my God, just leave and shut up. After I said that, he actually did leave. I was like, dude, he's not coming back. Just go and shut up. Well, it was actually good because then on my next group, I got it done in 5 minutes. I was like, all right, I had a professional group.
Yeah, I'm sorry that turned out that way. That's really unfortunate. But
it's okay. Can be best of them all.
Yeah. As for me this week, I've just been doing Hunter. I should have actually saved some of it for the double XP weekend because it was way too easy to get level 90. So that's nice that that's out of the way. There's only one thing left to get to 90, and that is dungeoneering.
Huh? What'd you catch?
Jadinkos.
Which one? Regular?
Igneous, because I don't have the Juju Hunter potions in order to get the draconic ones.
I need to make some of those. I'm out of the tails.
Yeah, so I mean, I could have done it for the bonus XP weekend, but I was just lazy and I was under 100 or under 400k away, so I just did it like that. So it was fine. But aside from that, just been doing the ports. Got to the next region, getting Jade now, slowly but surely moving to ship slot 4, and been doing my sinkholes. I had a very good sinkhole run this week. I got 98k XP from 2 sinkholes.
Wow, nice.
Yep, so if you get really lucky, like if you get the huge lamp plus the medium, and you get another large, that gave me 98k XP. So it's very nice indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I think that sums up this episode of RSVNB Update. Anyone have anything else to say? Tanis?
Nope, that's it for me.
All right. Tricky.
Be good.
Alrighty, and with that being said, we'll see you next week, everyone, and have a good double XP weekend.